This is James Robertson of Syncom Systems with episode 37 of Industry Misinterpretations. I recorded this episode at Small Talk Solutions on Tuesday, May 1st, 2007, with Kathy DiMartino of Penn State University. We discussed their usage of Syncom Smalltalk for both web applications and client-server applications. Interestingly, their usage of the web as a platform dates back to 1995, the very early days of the web. I think they were one of the pioneers in building applications in that space. Hope you enjoy this episode. If you do, please send feedback to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com or head on over to Podcast Alley and leave a vote, or head on over to iTunes and leave a review. This is James Robertson with Syncom Systems. I'm here at Small Talk Solutions with Kathy DiMartino of Penn State University. We're going to talk about their applications using Syncom Smalltalk and a number of other technologies that I'm far less familiar with, but I'm sure Kathy will be able to fill me in on. So, Kathy, why don't you tell us about your web applications first, since that's the one I'm most familiar with, and you can fill us in on the background and history of that.
Okay. We have a number of web applications using Smalltalk. One of our very successful applications is called eLine, which is a web application that provides over 150 services to students, faculty, and staff, with a approximate population of 100,000 across 23 campuses in Pennsylvania. With eLine, students at Penn State are able to use the web to register courses, order transcripts, pay the semester bills, check grades, and so on.
So it's not like when I was back in college where you had to go down to the registrar and spend the next 3 weeks of your life in a line in order to add or drop a course or pay your bills or do whatever it is you need to do.
That's correct. We used to have a long line in our registrar office. Actually, we had a long line in the gym. People lined up.
Yeah, no, I remember that back in 1980 and 81, 82 when I was in college. I remember the long lines, all that process. So how long have you guys been working on this application, the web-facing application? I mean, I know the applications itself, the ones that live on the mainframe, have been there since time began. But the web-facing stuff, when did you guys start on that?
Well, since the web started this, so we use Smalltalk since 1995.
So you guys started with Visual Wave, which is something that came out before Syncom owned the technology, certainly, and
that's
even
correct.
Before ObjectShare or Park Place Digidoc. You're going all the way back to Park Place and the launch of Visual Wave in 1995.
That's correct.
And you're still using the same technology.
Yes.
So you've done an awful lot with Visual Wave. Why don't you give us a little notion of how it is you've made it so that you're so productive? From what I understand, you guys have added a framework on top of Visual Wave that allows you to relatively easily and quickly bring up new forms and new applications so that if you have new requirements that come in and you need to put up some new piece of functionality for students, you can do that fairly quickly.
Right. Basically, we developed this framework, and we call it the base. So with this base, application developers will be able to plug the function modules easily. We wanted the framework to stay really simple and easy, basically step 1, 2, 3, and then they're ready to plug their applications. And they'll be able to it's flexible for them however they want to code it.
Now, the back end of this is not simple not simple in the sense that I would consider simple. It's not a database like the talk we were just in this morning, like an Oracle or a Sybase or a DB2. Your back end is an actual mainframe, classic green screen type stuff if you want to go back far enough. So you have a layer of your application that goes through those kinds of interfaces back to a mainframe and back to, I think it's the Adabase database, right?
Right. We use the IBM mainframe as a hardware. The software we're using is called the Software Aegis Adabase, and the language to propagate the Adabase is called a Natural. So in order to access the data between mainframe and other data source, we have to create some kind of middleware. First, we kind of use the C programs, and then C got us out of the favor because it's harder for other languages to interface. So we created this application. It's more functions as a web service broker for connecting the front-end application like eLine or application in any languages to the back-end mainframe data repository. This application is called a GI, Generalized Interface. Basically, it's using generic XML RPC protocol. So it provides a very high-level, generic web services so your other applications to be able to access directly.
So when you're talking web services, you're not talking SOAP and the whole WS Star stack. You're back on something a lot simpler and easier to use, like XML RPC.
Right. Since we started very early that time, I don't think the industry even come out of SOAP yet. So it was like a XML RPC. So that's how we had it today. But we are moving to SOAP interface
I feel bad for you then. I've done enough work in SOAP that I've done work in both XML RPC and SOAP, and while XML RPC has its problems, it is far simpler to work with.
Well, that's good to know. We had a specification, but we haven't started yet.
Yeah. Well, it's not that hard, in at least in Syncom Smalltalk and VisualWorks, it's not that hard to use SOAP. We have a set of wizards that if you feed it WSDL, you can actually have it generate a bunch of stuff. If you have your Smalltalk interface, you can have it generate a bunch of WSDL. So You can work back and forth either way.
Yeah.
So the tool level stuff is easier to use both in Smalltalk and most languages, whether you're using Java or any other high level language. Most of them work with WSDL and SOAP pretty easily. There's more complexity in terms of the cruft they generate, but certainly none of that simplicity in terms of tool level stuff exists for XML RPC.
Well, if we run into difficulty, we could stay on the XML RPC because it's really private usage. It's not for anybody from outside of Penn State. It's really within the Penn State we have control over.
Okay, so that's a private set of interfaces that you run only inside your intranet. You're not running that on the public web.
That's correct. We have very tight security.
Okay.
The service has to be registered and it has to pass like some kind of security credential.
Right, because as a state entity, I suppose you could end up with actual political scandals if you ended up losing data, right?
Exactly. Penn State is very cautious on security issue.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Probably the state government doesn't need that level of hassle, do they?
We don't want our names on the newspaper.
Kind of the opposite of a blogger where we want our names in the newspaper
and
the media.
Right.
You're on the other end of that.
Yeah, we're on the other end.
Yeah. So you also use Smalltalk in other places besides the web-facing stuff, correct?
That's correct. We have a few client-server applications. Actually, they're fairly large. One is our outreach applications. The one successful application is called ISO. This application basically replaces all their front-end application for staff registering students for anything from conference, non-credit courses, credit courses, world campus courses, and it's replacing all their legacy systems, and it's all done in Smalltalk as a front client-server application because the web HTML world has very limited widgets. Smalltalk widgets, like a GUI interface, providing very high flexibility and capability.
And your admin staff likes that better than dealing with a web page.
That's correct. And our programmer much happy because they can provide a very cool stuff for them, and they're very, very happy with it.
Okay. Now, on the website, have you guys looked into Ajax or JavaScript much at all?
We're trying to stay away from it. What happened is that the Penn State has to serve the population with all different kinds of version of browsers, the machine models. So to us, if it's on the web, we want it to be like a simple HTML format. So this way, our help desk will be have an easy way to help them. Otherwise, we end up like troubleshooting like hell because we don't know what is the configuration, what kind of type of machine, what type of browser they're using.
I suppose you also run into Disability Act regulations too, where people have to be able to access it with things like links.
Right, right.
And I guess JavaScript would be a little harder if you want to make sure that somebody who's blind, for instance, or somebody who's deaf can access it.
Right, right, right. So we're trying to stay away from like browse-specific issues.
So you're down really at the simplest level of HTML because it makes that whole level of supporting the application and interfacing with your entire student population a lot easier.
That's correct. Since our application services, primarily is for information-oriented, so it's a lot easier just using plain, simple HTML.
Kathy approached me later at the conference to correct a small misconception here. In fact, they are investigating Ajax usage, but they just want to be careful about the way they introduce JavaScript interaction on web application pages. They do have compliance regulatory issues to deal with to make sure that all their web pages are accessible to the student and faculty population. So it's not the case that they're completely ignoring JavaScript, but they do need to be careful about the way they introduce it. So to a large extent, you have, of course, the ability for students to add courses, drop courses, but a lot of it's just information gathering. If I remember when I've been up to Penn State a number of times, one of the heaviest stress times that your services have is at the point of the year where students really, really, really want to look at their grades mm-hmm. because they're trying to make that judgment call themselves as to whether they should add, whether they should stay in the calc class or whether they should drop calc in order to preserve their GPA. And that's when your system really gets stressed heavily.
That's correct. We serve basically 80,000 students at the mm-hmm. peak time. So our server can be stressed at some time.
Yeah, and you're running more than one server. You load balance across a variable number of servers based on what time of year it is.
That's correct. We use a generic load balance from IBM product, and we could have 7 to 10 servers or any number of servers if we wanted to. But averagely, we run about 5 to 7.
And it depends on the time of year and what kind of things are happening.
That's correct.
Are you still running Windows boxes for those? Are you running Linux or Unix boxes at all?
We're running on the Windows.
Okay.
However, you know, we're still running on the Z Linux, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, no, we've talked about that one. Okay. So is there anything else you wanted to tell me about your applications or what's going on at Penn State?
We have this new group called Open Standard Group, primary for Smalltalk and Java development.
Uh-huh.
And I'm the team leader for that.
Oh.
So the one thing is that we want to keep our Smalltalk resources because we want to support Smalltalk. Smalltalk is a pure, elegant, object-oriented language with a large library of classes. And another thing we find as superior than Java is a debugging tool that makes our developers very productive in coding. So, however, you know, we have to support a wide range of language tools because we are large university. Some decisions are
out of your hands.
Out of our hand. So, in order to do all of this, we decided to have some kind of a unique security schema, be able to allow us to incorporate all different languages.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can develop, you know, a framework, provide some common GUIs, and all other function modules can be plugged together. Okay. So that's what we're shooting for.
So your standards group is has the ability to define what you do more or less as a standard, and therefore make what you do what you found to be productive can be defined as standard.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to treat everything as an object. So this way, things can be plugged together regardless of what the languages and all tools.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very good. And I guess recently you've had one of my colleagues, Arden Thomas, came up to Penn State to talk to you guys, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, so how did that meeting go?
Oh, we had a great time and also discussed the small talking quite length.
Yeah, and Arden got to learn the same thing I've always learned about State College, which is that you can't get there from here, and it doesn't much matter where here is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Happy Valley is kind of isolated.
It's good. The good thing is that we're isolated, and the bad thing is that we're isolated.
Okay. Well, thanks, Kathy.
My pleasure.
Stay tuned for this week's Smalltalk Jobs Report with James Savage.
I'm James T. Savage, and this is the Smalltalk Jobs Report. Bozeman, Montana. New Wave Research, Inc. is looking for a software engineer who has a wide range of experience, including Smalltalk, Sex Gem protocols, semiconductor manufacturing, and lasers. Delphi experience is considered a plus. Cleveland, Ohio. S&P Solutions is looking for an IT apps programmer with insurance knowledge. C# and Smalltalk are considered pluses. Omaha, Nebraska. Diversified Solutions and Technisource are looking for a Smalltalk developer who has experience with relational databases, SQL, web development, Java servlets, and JSP. Experience with extreme programming, UML, and design patterns are considered pluses. Palo Alto, California. Tibco Software, Inc. is looking for a principal engineer who has a wide range of experience that includes Gemstone. San Jose, California. Precision System Design is looking for a Smalltalk developer. Experience with framework development and VisualWorks are considered pluses. Stamford, Connecticut. Precision System Design is looking for a senior software developer tech lead who has experience with Smalltalk. Java and XML are considered pluses. Warren, New Jersey. Design Strategy Corporation is looking for a Smalltalk developer. Experience with COBOL, insurance knowledge, and Java are considered pluses. These are just a few examples of the Smalltalk positions that are currently open across the world. For more details, visit my blog, Message Sends with an Undefined Object. Good luck with your job hunting.
And that about wraps up this week's episode of Industry Misinterpretations. If you have any feedback, please send it to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com, or head on over to Podcast Alley and leave a vote, or head on over to iTunes and leave a review. Until next week, have fun with Smalltalk.
Talk to you, I gotta be explained.